Is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, they did it with Vice President Mike Pence breaking a 50-50 tie. The Senate voted to proceed to a debate on the repeal of Obamacare earlier this afternoon. What happens next? Well, Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, chair of the Senate Values Action Team, will be here in just a moment with the answer. And do they really know what they're talking about? A foray onto college campuses finds youth supportive and even eager for socialism. Hannah Schurlocker of Campus Reform has the shocking story. Also, Secretary of Defense, James Mattis is lamenting the waste of limited Department of Defense dollars, and commanders are lamenting the wasted time on required training for the Pentagon's social agenda, which leaves very little time and money for training for warfighting. Will Mattis retreat from the wasted time and money of the Obama era? We'll talk about it later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, the Senate Republicans barely cleared a procedural hurdle to move on to a debate regarding the repeal of Obamacare. This has been 7 years in the making by a vote of 51-50. That was because Vice President Mike Pence broke a tie the motion to proceed. In the Senate, you have to vote before you have a chance to debate on a matter. So now they will move to a discussion of Obamacare and consider alternatives to Obamacare. Joining us now is Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri. He serves on the Committee on Appropriations, chairman of the subcommittee on the Departments of Labor, Health, and Human Services, which has a lot to do with health care. And he joins us now. Senator, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Tony, great to be with you. And we took an important step forward, I think, today.
Well, I think it's very significant. A week ago, didn't know if we could get to this point, but now at least we're on to a debate about the repeal of Obamacare. What takes place next?
Well, we'll have, under this process, we'll have a full and open amendment process. So there'll be lots of votes taken over the next few days, and frankly, we'll show where lots of where members of the Senate are on a significant number of issues. My fellow BAT co-chairmen, Senator Lankford, Senator Ernst, Senator Daines, Senator Strange from Alabama, will be very much part of that debate as we look particularly at the life issues and the other issues that dramatically affect choices available to families and the kind of policies available to families. I think we're going to look at back through the old law and see, I know there's one place where under the original law, Secretary Price could simply enforce a separate payment request requirement that be made for every plan that has abortion coverage. It's not a big payment, but it is a separate payment, and it is sure that people who are buying that plan under the current law know that they're buying a plan that has that kind of coverage in it. Obviously, we want to figure out a way to end the taxpayer subsidy of the largest abortion provider in the country, Planned Parenthood. That was a bill we put on the president's desk in 2015, President Obama's desk, using the same budget rules that we're using here that lets us possibly do this with 51 votes in the Senate, just like we were able to move forward today with 51 votes instead of the 60 that the normal business would have required us to do. So the life issues are critical issues, but also issues that ensure that families don't just have coverage, but that families actually have access to health care. This deductible problem is a major problem. The cost of policy is a major problem. Families not having the kind of health care access they'd like to have just so that they stay healthy and have a easy way to verify that that's in fact access they have.
Well, those are two issues I want to talk about: the high deductibles under Obamacare that almost made it impractical in terms of its application for access to health care. But I want to take on this life issue that you brought up. You have been working diligently on that issue along with Senator Lankford and some of your other co-chairs to ensure the taxpayers are unshackled from the abortion industry, which has been the really what's been happening under Obamacare. Friday, the parliamentarian preliminary ruling, but said that the defunding of Planned Parenthood would not fit within reconciliation, and the Hyde protection language that would keep taxpayers out of the abortion business also not fitting in reconciliation. However, it was preliminary, and I think a lot of work has been done over the weekend to try to work those issues out.
Well, it has been, and with a lot of work has been done, and I've been involved in that. My staff's been involved in that. Again, our co-chairman and the Values Action effort have been at the forefront of that discussion. And I believe on the ability to not fund an organization that is largely committed, as Planned Parenthood is, to only one service, that there's a way to do that. We did that in 2015. I believe we've revisited that and found a way to do that. The Hyde Amendment, probably hard to, in a couple of areas, to make them as dependent on Hyde language as I would like them to be, but there's this fund called the Stability Fund, which is the fund that kind of underwrites the insurance company's final loss. You know, if it was a regular insurance company instead of the government providing that money, you'd call it reinsurance. But we think we've designed the Stability Fund in a way that any dollar that goes out of that to back up a fund of any of an insurance company to back up a product is protected by the Hyde Amendment. And it's generally believed that virtually every policy written would not be written in the exchange without using the Stability Fund money. And so it's a way to do it. It's not a perfect way to do it, but it's a way to do it that appears to meet the requirements, and we're going to continue to look for things like that that really restore healthcare spending to the Hyde principle that has allowed the country to actually have this debate and have strong feelings about it, but not have your money and my money spent for something that we think it shouldn't be spent for.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the deductibles, the cost here. I mean, in effect, what many have had under Obamacare with these high deductibles for families ranging in $8,000 to $10,000, it's a little more than catastrophic care. Are we going to be able to get those deductibles down where this is actually a very practical, that families feel like and in reality have health care insurance?
Well, you know, one of my goals, along with Ted Cruz and others, would be to have more options, to have more policies that families with their own money can buy that maybe didn't meet the the standard for a subsidized policy is, but it does meet the standard for the kind of coverage they think they need. And there's no question with one of the reasons people have walked away from the exchange and rather pay the penalty than have the insurance is that many families felt like they were paying a lot of money and didn't really have any insurance anyway. When you're paying $1,000 a month, and I think the average deductible on the bronze policy, the policy most likely to be bought under Obamacare, the average deductible was $6,000. And if two people in your family got sick, you had to meet that deductible twice before the insurance company was coming in to help. So you're paying $1,000 a month for insurance. That's $12,000. Then you could pay another $12,000 before your insurance was helpful. You might have coverage, but you didn't have access to care. And for most families, that's not even it's beyond catastrophic if you have that kind of thing happen health wise and no help. And so you choose not to have a policy at all. I think we can create ways to get more people into the larger insurance pool by creating more choices, and that would be one of the goals certainly here.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Roy Blunt, Senator from Missouri, my guest in this first segment. All right, Senator, I know there's been a lot of work done over the last several weeks to try to bring Republicans together. Obviously, this was the first hurdle getting onto a debate on the bill. What do you think the prospects are that at the end of the day, there are enough senators that come to an agreement to repeal Obamacare and put something in its place?
Well, I think the more we know about this, the more we know that government really gets into dangerous territory when it involves itself in everybody's health care, but that's the world that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, put us in, and nothing we've designed so far has been perfect. I think there's a really good chance, though, that the Senate will pass a bill. It'll have to be the bill that 50 of us and the vice president vote for, so it may not be everything we would want it to be, but I no longer believe the Senate is going to pass a bill that you give it to the House and say, okay, you pass this and it's the final bill. I think where we're headed now is it'll be a Senate bill that allows us to go to conference with the House based on all the information we're going to learn this week when members for the first time have to step up and in for dozens of cases take a vote that lets us know for the first time where our members are willing to be on issues like the so-called freedom plans, issues like the defunding of Planned Parenthood. We'll go to that conference with the House with much more information about what a final product could look like that would get 60 votes than we have up till now, and I'm looking forward to that debate and advancing the things that need to happen for families and for life.
Well, we look forward to that process as well and hope it is successful on the other end. One final question for you, Senator Blunt. Rare bipartisan moment on the Senate floor today when Senator John McCain stepped onto the floor. It seemed like he was well received by both sides of the political aisle, and it was one of those moments where you step back and put politics aside.
Well, he's a man of rare courage, and you know, he's in another fight now, but John McCain is never better than when he's in a fight, and he is a good man to have by your side when you're in a fight as well. And so it was, I think the senators were grateful to see him come back. He came back in a pretty dramatic way, providing the last vote for the 50 votes before the vice president stepped up. I think he got there in time to be vote number 49, but we were waiting for Senator McCain to come in. If he hadn't been there today, we wouldn't have had 50 votes. So he came back from Arizona to make this happen today. I hope plans to be here through this debate, and hopefully he'll be leading the National Defense Authorization Armed Forces Act that he's been our leader on for a long time as we move to that next after we move from this round of health care to the number one priority of the federal government, which is defending the country, and certainly that's been John McCain's number one priority for a long time.
Well, and we will be praying for him as well. Senator Roy Blunt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for all you're doing, and thanks for all you do every week with the information you're getting out to people about what's happening here.
All right. Thank you so much, Roy. Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Work very closely with Senator Blunt as one of the lead co-chair of the Values Action Team in the Senate. All right. Coming up next, a report finds students in Washington, D.C. and across the nation support socialism as a form of government. Do they really know what they're talking about? We'll talk about it next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES. Families, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. A few weeks ago, the rain came down and the waters began to rise in the Midwest. In some places rising more than 2 feet, rivers poured into basements, swamping roads, parks, and sidewalks, and there was nothing anyone could do besides stand back and watch. You can't hold back a flood. And eventually, life brings all of us a flood, in one form or another, and all floods have spiritual impact. What will happen to your faith when life turns upside down? In Matthew 7:25, Jesus describes what will happen if you've built your life upon Him. He said, "The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Deepen your foundation in Christ with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
There are over 7,000 abortions a year in San Antonio, and Planned Parenthood aims to round that up to 10,000 with a new mega center. Hi, Kim Catola for Cradle My Heart Today, but not if charity can help it. She tells Pregnancy Help News that she wants to make Planned Parenthood irrelevant by taking away all their patients. When her pregnancy center added ultrasound services, they went from 8 babies saved to over 450 in 1 year. The center now sees thousands each year, connecting with young women at campus health fairs and offering free well women exams. And they hope to expand into a first-class, state-of-the-art family and medical resource center offering pre- and postnatal care and education and family resources all rolled into one. Find out more about Christ-centered resources offering help for unplanned pregnancy and hope after abortion at CradleMyHeart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. CradleMyHeart.org.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, campus reform is reporting a number of college students speak positively about socialism. In a number of man-on-the-street-style interviews, where they walk up and ask somebody a question on a college campus and they respond, a number of students express socialism would be good for America. In fact, here's a clip. Of some of the interviews that they conducted.
In your opinion, is socialism a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think people kind of throw that word around to try to scare you, but if helping people is socialism, then I'm for it.
It could really benefit our country in the future.
I think it's a good idea.
Socialism as a concept, as a philosophy, is good. I think that it's got a bad rep.
Trying to spread the wealth is definitely a good thing in America, and it's definitely a thing that's needed.
There's a lot of things with social welfare that I think would be good to have.
Do you have a positive reaction to socialism or a negative one?
I'd say a more positive one. I'm definitely more open to it.
We should have a standard of living for all people. Okay. Just by default, that should just be available.
If we did it democratically, then we could really incorporate socialism.
Well, joining us now is Hannah Scherlocker. She is the program coordinator for Campus Reform. Hannah, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So is this real or is this like a comedy clip you guys have put together?
I wish it wasn't real. You know, going back and watching that video, all jokes aside, this video should be deeply concerning. I mean, 53% of my generation views socialism favorably, and arguably that's because most don't really know what it means. And clearly in this video, it's evident that most millennials do not know what it means, and it's concerning because millennials are now the largest voting bloc in America. They're going to be heading to the polls without really knowing the issues, really knowing what socialism is.
What? Why is it that they do not know what socialism is? I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders attracted a lot of millennials. Is that because they have no understanding of socialism, that it is a path toward communism?
Right. Arguably, it's because they are misinformed. They're not taught what true socialism is. And they're indoctrinated by their professors who teach them that socialism is great, that it's all about equality for everyone and social justice for all. You know, the professors are doing nothing to teach the horrors brought about by socialism throughout history. And also, schools are no longer teaching basic economics in class. these economic classes are replaced with diversity trainings and social justice courses. You know, just last week, we reported on a Texas A&M receiving $3.5 million in a federal grant to advance diversity on campus. And then recently, Wayne State University, they dropped their only required math class and considered replacing it with a diversity course. And then, not to mention, we had 8 years of President Obama making the idea of spreading the wealth some sort of mainstream concept. So it's not really a surprise that these students are misinformed. They sit in their indoctrination dens, and this is what they're taught.
So Hannah, is there any hope of the truth breaking through to millennials?
You know, I would say working with the correspondents that I work with at Leadership Institute's Campus Reform, I do see a little glimpse of hope. You know, they're brave enough to stand up in their classrooms, or what I like to call indoctrination dens, and stand up for these American values. You know, classrooms should be a place where students are encouraged to be entrepreneurial, self-starters. And the students that I work with, they recognize that, and they are brave enough to report on what's going on their campus and the bias that their professors portray in the classroom. So I would say there is a glimpse of hope, but, you know, when I was filming with Cabot, one thing he was saying is these students should take a trip to Venezuela or Cuba during their next spring break to see how socialism really is. So I think, you know, talk about hope, we need to get those students, we need to really open their eyes to what true socialism really is.
So, Hannah, in your opinion, what's the best way for parents and for those that, you know, they see their young teenagers and others, college students, trending on this track where they think, well, socialism's not such a bad idea. Everybody, that way everybody's taken care of. What's the best way to reach them?
You know, I'm all about the most effective way is to get them to do their own research. Unfortunately, you know, people are becoming more lazy. They're not doing their own research. But like I said before, all it would take is a trip to one of these countries. You know, most of the students we interviewed, they were pointing to the Nordic countries as, you know, right, ideal, you know, places where socialism worked out. But, you know, I lived in Europe last year and saw firsthand that these countries are not truly socialist. And there's a level of dishonesty from the professors and people who are portraying this. You know, a couple years ago, the Danish prime minister said at a Harvard speech that Denmark is far from a socialist economy. It's a market economy. And, you know, last year, Denmark was actually ahead of the U.S. in economic freedom rankings. So there's a misconception. These students are being fed lies. So most importantly, I think these students need to do their own research. You know, Sweden for years has been slowly eliminating welfare state policies. They've been cutting taxes. And it's clear that these countries are not models for successful democratic socialism. But the narrative given by Sanders and Obama and professors are convincing a great deal of people that socialism is something it's not. So people really need to open a textbook to do some research and really find out for themselves, because unfortunately the classroom has become a place where we can't always trust the professors to give truth when we're replacing basic economic classes with diversity classes. I mean, how are these students supposed to get true, right, honest, historical facts, you know?
Well, it sounds like we need a few road trips, maybe to Venezuela, to China. Send them to Venezuela where they're rioting because they can't get toilet paper. So that sounds like maybe a good field trip. Hannah, thanks so
Absolutely.
Much for joining us. Very interesting, alarming, but I believe there's a lot of young people out there that get it. We just need to empower them to speak even louder. So, Hannah, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And don't go away, because we're coming back on the other side of the break to talk about military waste.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Do I really want to manage my own portfolio? It's a great question, and it's one that we should be thinking about before we get into doing that. As you all know, I'm very concerned about all of us being biblically responsible, doing what is right with the money God has entrusted us, making sure that we're not investing because when we invest, we are taking ownership in companies, making sure that they are biblically responsible companies. In other words, they aren't involved in pornography or abortion or things that would be offensive to God. This is God's money. He has entrusted us to be a good steward of it, and we need to make sure we do that. So if you don't have the time to do the work in managing individual stocks, the best way to do that is mutual funds. But the only mutual funds you can use are the Timothy plans. They're the only true biblically responsible mutual fund company. They are evenly yoked with you and I and desire to make sure that the money that they're managing is being invested in things that are biblically responsible, that are honoring and would be pleasing to God. So if you're going to do the mutual fund route, the only way to do it is with Timothy Plan, timothyplan.com. Not because it is just easier, which it is, but because it's biblically responsible and it's the right thing to do in the eyes of God.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Hey, by the way, check out the website. If you're interested, we are taking a trip next spring to Israel. It'll be the second time. The Family Research Council has put together one of these tours. It's unlike any other tour that you'll go on to the Holy Land. We certainly take in all the historical sites, the biblical heritage, that sort of thing. But in addition, we will go into the kind of the geopolitical environment. We'll talk about modern-day politics. We'll be meeting with political leaders, church leaders, religious leaders, I should say, and others. So it's a fascinating trip. People who went on it on our last trip raved about it. So you can find out more. Go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Okay, you know, we've been talking about this, and tomorrow it will take place. There is a vote on the Make America Secure Appropriations Act, which is taking place tomorrow. That is a combination of appropriation bills. It's called a minibus. It's about, I think, four appropriations measures, including funding for the wall, or at least initial funding for the wall. But it also includes an increase of about $80 billion for the Department of Defense. Now, there's some problems with that. 2 weeks ago, there was an effort to prohibit the Department of Defense from spending money on non-essential medical treatments known as gender reassignment, both the surgeries and the hormone treatments that go with it. Now, it's estimated that over the next 10 years that those costs could reach $3.7 billion. Well, add to that the fact that the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, is really going ballistic that the Pentagon spent $28 million on the wrong camouflage uniform. Defense Secretary James Mattis wasn't laughing about it. And this decision goes back to 2007, so it's before he arrived, before this administration arrived. A new report shows that the Pentagon flushed millions down the drain on a woodland pattern for Afghan soldiers. Now, a woodland pattern is for forest, not for deserts. Only 2.1% of Afghan's landscape is in forest. The Inspector General didn't mince words about the decision, which may jeopardize the lives of thousands of our allies. Quote, I mean, they're walking around with a target on their backs, he said. Although a large share of the blame rests with the Afghan minister who supposedly picked the material, the Inspector General said the U.S. had the final sign-off. So, rightfully so, the Congress is upset about this. They're asking questions about it, and the Secretary of Defense is responding to that. But keep that in mind. There is also a new working group that Secretary Jim Mattis has impaneled. He wants to overhaul military education and training to regain the art of war fighting following complaints by thousands of service members that their time is being wasted by hours of mandatory training. This is according to a Fox News report. Now, Mattis has ordered the formation of a new working group to determine changes to military personnel policies. Now, the working group will include the second in command of each branch of the U.S. military and report to the Deputy Secretary of Defense and Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, the whole purpose here is to regain a concentration on the art and science of warfighting. I'm with him. I 100% agree. That's what the military should be doing. That's what he said in his confirmation hearing. Continuing to quote the Fox News story, says one official with knowledge of the discussion surrounding the memo said service members spending too much time on senseless training that is really a waste of time. One U.S. military officer said there is quote, too much sexual harassment training and not enough time spent at places like shooting ranges, for example. Now, currently, and this is just one example, the Air Force is doing a lot of these countless hours on mandatory training for all kinds of crazy stuff. In fact, here's something they just finished. They just finished mandatory transgender training. And I've heard directly from many members of the military and the Guard and the Reserves. In fact, the Reserves, it's really bad because they only meet once a month and they've been spending all their time on this mandatory training for, you know, various, like I said, sexual harassment, transgender policy, stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with warfighting. So, to his credit, Mattis is saying, well, we're going to look at this and we're going to do away with this unnecessary training because military leaders are complaining. Okay, I'm with you, Mr. Secretary, but it should start with your transgender policy that you have now adopted from the Obama administration. You have the ability to stop that. And this administration should stop that. It is a waste of money. And you need to weigh in with your member of Congress because they're going to vote on this tomorrow. They should say no until the Department of Defense uses the resources it has wisely. It should not be given any more of your tax dollars, especially for non-essential gender reassignment surgeries and hormones. All right, on the other side of the break, I remind you of the Capitol switchboard number. But if you know it, call it during the break. We're going to talk on the other side of the break, and we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear from you on this Tuesday afternoon. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch in a moment.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage, and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askfrc. Thank you for standing with us.
Operation Christmas Child's 9,000 volunteers nationwide say it's never too early to talk about Christmas. Their 2016 year-round efforts in community, church, logistics, prayer, and media made it possible for millions of children to hear of Jesus' love through a gift-filled shoebox. To learn more about local year-round opportunities to make disciples around the world or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
David Butts of Harvest Prayer Ministries challenges us to see prayer as a gracious gift from God.
Show us, Lord, how to pray with greater effectiveness. Lord, help us to understand more of your heart in our city, in our churches, in our nation, literally around the globe.
The Gift of Prayer is a powerful new DVD that teaches us the importance of prayer. It's a great resource for your church or family. Available for purchase or download from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, to recap, the Senate earlier today, by the slimmest of margins, in fact, the vice president had to break a 50-50 tie, 51-50, the Senate now proceeding to debate Obamacare. That's going to be taking place over the next few days. We'll keep you posted on that. This is critical because if it doesn't happen now, I don't see how it's going to happen. So it's extremely critical that you speak to your two senators and just all you got to do is tell them repeal Obamacare. You don't have to get into the details of what it's replaced with. I just prefer that it be repealed and they come back in regular order and try to put together a comprehensive plan that could deal with a number of issues that cannot be dealt with in reconciliation because it's limited. Regardless, this is the one opportunity to repeal Obamacare. So contact your senators, encourage them to do, especially if they're Republican, to do what Republicans have been campaigning on for 7 years, and that is to repeal Obamacare. Don't, you know, well, but this and but that, but nothing. Repeal it. Okay? 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard number. You can speak to either your congressman or your two senators. Again, 202-224-3121, Capitol switchboard. Now, on the House side, I want to go back to what we were talking about just before the break. And in fact, I want to hear from you today. If you've contacted, if you've taken action, if you've been one of those that have called and weighed in on these issues in the last 2 weeks, I'd like to hear from you because I want others to hear from those of you who have made those phone calls to your congressmen and your senators because I want to tell you it's making a difference. I was on the phone with members today regarding this funding bill, and normally they don't have this much trouble with a defense funding bill. Everybody wants to vote for the military. Nobody wants to vote against the military, but because you are weighing in and saying, no, the military doesn't need an additional $80 billion until they use what they have in the right way. What happens if the Make America Secure Appropriation Act fails tomorrow if they continue to push forward with this transgender policy and members vote against it and it fails. It doesn't mean the military is not going to be funded. It just means they're not going to get the additional $80 billion they're looking for. They will end up with a continuing resolution funding them at the same level as last year. So contact your member of Congress if you've not yet done that. If you have, I want to hear from you. If you've contacted your member of Congress or your senators about Obamacare, share with our listeners what they may have told you, or just who encouraged them to how simple it is to make that call and weigh in. But again, I want to tell you the impact that that has. The number, 866-372-7234. That won't get you to your congressman, but it'll get you to me. 866-372-7234. If you've contacted your member of Congress in the last couple of weeks as a result of our call to action, I want to know, I want to hear from you. And I want to commend you because, again, I've heard from members of Congress what they're hearing from other offices that are on the wrong side of this issue. They're counting the calls. I know one night last week after we put out a call to action, I got a call that one office had received almost 250 calls. So you're to be commended for taking action. 866-372-7234, the number to call me to talk about your call to your member of Congress. And again, to encourage the other listeners who may not have made that call. Some may feel intimidated to pick up the phone and call the member of Congress. Hey, it's real simple. Not hard at all. And they're, if you are pleasant with them, which you should be, they are pleasant. I mean, they just, usually it's a staffer. They'll just take your call. They'll ask your address, maybe your zip code, and they'll record it. And the congressman or the senator will get that report. I guarantee you. All right, let's go to Texas where Michael is on the line. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. I try and listen to you every opportunity I have, and I have contacted both of my senators pertaining to the transgender bill, and in particular the Hartzler Amendment, and to support it. And I, in turn, started down the list of the 22 so-called Republicans that voted no on it. And my question to them and my opinion to them, even though I'm not a constituent, is that I'm an American, they use my taxpayer money, and I have been a Republican voter for 40 years. Some of them were very receptive. Several of the ladies that took my call told me that priority is given only to constituents. And I explained to her that my position and that I was a Republican supporter, and when they're supposedly supposed to be part of the Republican Party, I feel it is my duty to voice my opinion to them, not only somebody that's not a constituent, but somebody that, you know, has an opinion pertaining to that. The transgender policy in itself, I think, is absolutely ludicrous. It's insane. And I don't know how something like that can get to the position. Well, I take that back. After the last 8 years of what we've had, I guess it's no surprise. Yeah. But if you don't mind, explain again who we contact, who we talk to. Sometimes I get confused on, okay, it's Congress, it's Senate, this is being voted on, and yes, surely I'm not the only one.
Actually, I will do that, Michael. Thank you for the call. And I bet, Michael, you were one of those in school that got extra credit because you actually did more. You not only contacted your congressman and your two senators, but you did above and beyond. So thank you. Thanks for calling and sharing that. And look, folks, it's not intimidating to make that call. And Michael is right. On this issue of the transgender, it's ludicrous. Only 23% of Americans agree with this, that this is good for the military. 23%. There's nothing that, and so the overwhelming majority are opposed to this idea. And that's all voters. Now, when you break it down to just Republican voters that supported this president, I mean, it's close to 80%. So this is, you are not alone on this, and that's why they need to hear from you. But because people are quiet and people don't want to talk about especially this kind of stuff because it's weird. I don't want to talk about it. Well, if they don't hear pushback, they'll just kind of go with the flow. And that's what happened on this. But after the vote and you began to make the phone calls, you got their attention. You really did. So here's what's happening. In the Senate, same phone number that I gave out, the switchboard, I'll give it out again. Same number to reach House member, your member of Congress, or your two senators. Here's what's happening this week. In the next day or so, in the Senate, they will be debating various amendments on the Obamacare repeal. They're now on the bill. They will be taking up different amendments and moving toward a vote to repeal Obamacare. So you need to contact your two senators and say, repeal Obamacare. All you got to say. You don't need to go into the details, what it's going to replace with. Don't concern yourself with that. Just send the message, repeal Obamacare. And then in the House, tomorrow will be the vote on the Make America Secure Appropriation Act. And that's going to be the additional funding for the military, which will underwrite this transgender reassignment surgery that the Pentagon has left in place, left over from the Barack Obama regime. They don't need to fund it. They can repeal it. So contact your congressman and tell them to vote against, as long as the transgender funding is there, vote against the Make America Secure Act, Appropriation Act. Okay, thanks, Michael. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Tennessee where Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. I have already spoken with David Kustoff, my congressman, and he is in agreement with me because he sees this step as being something that has nothing to do with national defense. And my second comment for today was I did call the White House comment line this morning, and, of course, I always begin my calls to the volunteers with, Mr. President, I'm praying for you. My encouragement to the president this morning was to get in a closed room with Mike Pence and Jeff Sessions and reconcile. Reconcile.
That's good advice. Jeff Sessions, and I know the president's sore over this because he's just been bombarded and pounded over Russia. But I'm going to tell you, I know Jeff Sessions, and I've worked with Jeff Sessions for years. And this guy is straight-laced. He's honest. He's by the book. He's rule of law. He is a great attorney general. And he recused himself over this Russia investigation because he felt he had to. And that's, you know, the president feels like the attorney general should be a buffer between him and what's going on there. So that's great counsel, Gail, and I do hope they reconcile. I've sent the same message to the White House that the president is well served by Jeff Sessions. So continue to pray there. I think it would be a mistake for this administration to let Jeff Sessions go. And thanks for calling your member of Congress as well. And let's now go to Oklahoma, where Jan is on the line. Jan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. Just as a comment on the woman that just spoke about Jeff Sessions, I agree. As an attorney, I would just say that Jeff Sessions realized that had he not recused, I firmly believe he realized that he would be taken down all of the rabbit trails that are being taken with Russia, Russia, Russia. Having said that, and I think that went into his decision making. But yeah. The reason I called is that you had said if we had contacted our congressmen and senators in the last 2 weeks, I have done that, probably ad nauseum to them. I also called the president's line and make comments there. I also called the senators like Rand Paul and Mike Lee, Mark Meadows, and all of them just to thank them for the stands they're taking and the positions they're taking. And they're like the Dutch boy with their finger in the dot. The North Sea is behind them.
Jan, that is really good to point out, and I do that from time to time when it comes to the emails, but I haven't said that about phone calls. But it's really good to make those phone calls and to thank members as well for taking the right stand. So oftentimes, you know, we nudge them, try to get them to do the right thing, but when they do it, we move on. And so it is important. If you've got a good member of Congress, you know, she mentioned Mark Meadows. You got, but you're in Oklahoma. You got some good members there. You got two very good senators. James Lankford, a really good friend of mine. Senator Inhofe, another good friend. You know, when they take those strong stands, especially James has actually been leading out because I've met with him and working with him on the life language on the Obamacare repeal. Solid guy. And I would, you know, encourage folks there because I know we've got a lot of listeners in Oklahoma to let him know that you're praying for me and you appreciate the stands he's taken. Jan, thanks so much for listening and calling in. And you, too, must be one of those that got extra credit in school because you did above and beyond. Let's work in another call or two here. Let's go to Missouri where Gloria is on the line. Gloria, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I listened to you on AFR, and I'm thinking that in the last 6 months to a year, you guys had started broadcasting in Washington, D.C., and I'm so glad that they get to hear these comments that people are saying. I have contacted my congressman, who is Jason Smith in Missouri. He seems to be relatively stable on things that I'm watching him here in Missouri on what he does here. I contacted his local office instead of calling the D.C. office. And then I've also contacted, of course, Senator McCaskill, which I have issues with, and Senator Blunt. He's in the middle for me. But I have made those phone calls. I appreciate you guys putting the call out that we can respond and be a part of our government. It is so important in our day and time. And I just thank you for what you do. Have a good one.
Thank you, Gloria. And it is important. And it would be it would not be effective if we were just on the radio talking about these things. Just adding our voice to the cacophony out there, the noise that's out there. We are providing this information so that you can take action, so that you can make a difference. And again, sorry, folks, we're not going to get to the rest of the calls, but we're going to visit this again, to revisit it tomorrow. But I want to again commend you as active listeners and just give you the feedback. You're getting through and you're making a difference. And I appreciate you for doing that and stand firm. These issues nobody wants to talk about. They just kind of want to push them aside and think that the voters won't know about it. Look, folks, this is our one opportunity, I believe, to turn America around. Now, it's not just political, but we've got that opportunity politically to then begin to pray and live out our faith without fear of harassment and persecution by our own government in a way that reaches the lives of others. This is our moment. We must not shrink back. We must not be silent. We must not cower in the face of opposition. So let your voice be heard. Continue to make those phone calls, 202-224-3121, Capitol Switchboard. Weigh in with the Senate on Obamacare. Tell them to repeal it. And in the House, no more funding the military, as long as they're wasting dollars on these radical social policies of the Obama era. All right, folks, we're out of time. Great to be with you. Hope you'll join us again next time. Until then, remember the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.